when we were around the table at supper time, we always had good fellowship around the table. As you read the Word of God, you find that Jesus often went into people's homes at supper time or at meal time, and Jesus would sit down with them and would eat with them and be refreshed by what he ate, but he would also be refreshed by the fellowship that they had around the table. I preached a series of sermons one time, probably 10 or 12 sermons, just taking different scenes from the Word of God around the table where Jesus would be eating with people in their home. You remember how Zacchaeus went to find Jesus, and when he climbed that sycamore tree and he found Jesus and he saw Jesus, and Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, and Jesus went home with Zacchaeus that day, and that day salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. And all through the Scriptures we find a lot of times that the Bible emphasizes the importance of the home. There was a king in 1 Kings chapter 13. There was a king that said to a man of God, 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 7, there was a king that said to a man of God, "Come home with me, come home with me and refresh thyself." You hear what the king said? "Come home with me and refresh thyself." And I think we just get further and further away in our modern society. We get further and further away from the home. That's one of the biggest problems we have in our society, is that the home is not a place where we are refreshed. I have a granddaughter one time that they pulled up to an ATM machine when she was a little girl. And when they pulled up to the ATM machine, she said, "Chicken nuggets." Well, now, the reason that she thought that that ATM machine had chicken nuggets is because their family often goes by and picks up fast food. And I'm not picking on that family, because probably most people in here spend a lot of time either going out to eat or going by and getting food and taking it home instead of having a good home-cooked meal. Some restaurants are famous today and they advertise home cooking or home-cooked meals because people want that kind of food. One of the things that all of us need to do is to slow down and go back to having the kind of homes that we had 75 and 100 years ago. We need that kind of home today. We need the same kind of families that they had back then, where a mama and a daddy were both in the home, where the daddy was the head of the house and God was the head of the daddy, and the mother was submissive to her husband, and the children honored their mother and their father, and the children respected their parents, and children did not talk back to their parents. We need the kind of home that when people go into the home, they feel refreshed, not just the family that lives there, but that other people are invited. "Come home with me." Like that king said, "Come home with me and refresh thyself." I've been in Sister Durrance's home, and every time I've been there, I've felt good. I've felt refreshed. Not because she served food, but just being around a great saint of God. Been in Sister Queen Waters' home many times, and she would feed me. Most of the time, it was just sitting there being refreshed by being around a great saint of God. Brother Foster and Sister Maggie's home, and all over this congregation, Sister Mabel Henson's home, all of these dear old saints that have gone home to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, brethren, they had homes where you were refreshed. It was a good feeling to go there. Your body and your soul and your spirit were refreshed by being in those kinds of homes. There are a lot of people that need refreshing today. They can't find a home. There are people that are out there in the world. I'm talking about children of God that are all going from place to place. They know something's missing, and what's missing is they don't have a home where they are really refreshed. So we need that kind of home, and the Word of God describes that kind of home. The Word of God, Jesus, God Himself tells us how we can have a home where people are refreshed. The prodigal son had that kind of a home. He had a good home. But did you know that some people are so foolish that they'll leave a good home? There are some people that are so deceived by Satan that they think that there's something better out there than what they have at home. There are men that leave a good home and run out after something else. They abandon a good home for something that they think is better, and eventually they will all find out there was nothing like the home that they gave up. This prodigal son had a good home, and he left his father's house, and he went out and wasted his father's goods. In the Scripture says, in verse 13, Luke 15, 13 says, he wasted his father's goods in riotous living. I want you to understand there's a big difference in riotous living and righteous living. Riotous living is ungodly living. This man had been living in a godly house where there was righteous living, and he left that home where his soul and body were safe and secure, and where he was fed, and where he had everything that he could possibly need. He left that and went out and wasted everything in riotous living. The Word of God says that after he had wasted all of his father's goods, and he had been living like a hog, and wanted to eat the food that was given to the hogs, the Scripture says that he finally came to himself. And he says, I'm going to go back to my father's house. Do you know why he wanted to go back? There were some things in the father's house. There were some things there that he knew would help him. He knew there were rules there. He needed those rules in his life. He knew there was discipline there. He needed that kind of discipline. He knew there was food there. And he knew that there was love in that home. You know what we need more than anything else in the home is love. No, actually what we, and it's inseparable. We need God as the head of the home. Did everybody hear that? We need God as the head of the home. We need for every home, and this is the only way you're ever going to have a happy home, is if you recognize God is the head of this house. We're going to follow God's Word. We're going to follow God's way. This is the rule book for this house, and you will abide by these rules in this house. Or else you'll go somewhere else. That's the reason the prodigal son had to leave his house, is because he didn't want to live by his father's rules. But you know what you'll always find when you go out and you leave a place of righteous living, where you leave a house where God is the head of the house? You know what you'll always find? You'll find riotous living, and you'll find poverty and chaos and confusion, and you'll find people that are hungering for something. And this man finally came to himself, and he went back to his father's house. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that beautiful? The father would not go out there and have fellowship with him when he was in that riotous living. But as soon as he repented and as soon as he turned to go back to the father's house, and I want you to remember, this man was already in the Father's house. This isn't talking about somebody getting saved from eternal hell. This is talking about a child of the King, a child of the Father that went away from the Father's house. But now he comes back to the Father's house, And the father ran and greeted him and kissed him and hugged him. And verse 21 says, And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Was he telling the truth? Had he sinned? Had he sinned against heaven? And had he sinned in the sight of his father? I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He was telling the truth. He was humble. He was humble. That's one of the most necessary things in the home, is to have some humility in the home. I said a while ago that you have to have God as the head of the home. You cannot have God as the head of the home if the man thinks he's the head of the house. The man is not the head of the house. God is the head of the house. And until you recognize that and remember that and feel that and believe that and practice that, you will not have a real, happy, refreshing home to live in. So there has to be this realization and recognition and acknowledgement that God is the head of this house. I've told Teresa, I said, you know, I've heard of people that always set an extra plate at every meal. And I've suggested that sometimes, and I ought to do that. I'm the head of my wife, not the head of the house. God's the head of the house. I ought to set an extra plate at every meal. Do you know why some people do that? Why do you think some people set an extra plate? God doesn't need any food. I want some way to help me remember. We need things to help us remember. And I would like to have an extra plate there to remember that as we sit down to eat the meal, to remember it's not just us that's here, but to acknowledge God is here. This is God's house. We're going to set a place, not because He needs a place, but to acknowledge God. Without God, we wouldn't have this home. Without God, we wouldn't have this house. Without God, I wouldn't have my wife. Without God, I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have my family. And so all praise and honor and glory needs to go to God. And when we recognize and see God is the head of the family, we're going to have a better family. There needs to be order in the house. The husband, the scripture says, the husband is the head, or the man is the head of the wife. And the wife is to be submissive to the husband. And the husband is to love his wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And if I'm loving my wife the way the scriptures teach for me to love my wife, if I'm a good head over my wife, the head over me is God, and I need to acknowledge Him and serve Him and always be aware of His presence, and I need to treat my wife with great love and respect and kindness and gentleness. God will honor me with His presence when I acknowledge His way is right. I'll have a refreshing home. Have you been into a home lately that was refreshing to go to? Have you been into a good home where God was the head of the home? It's refreshing to go there. It's always refreshing to go where God is the head of the home. Another thing you have where you have a refreshing home is you have love, and I mentioned that a while ago. You have love. In a real, godly, refreshing home, you have love. And the reason I said that in a way those go together is because God is love, and you don't have God in the home if love is not abounding in the home. If a man says he loves his family, but he doesn't love God and prove his love for God, he doesn't really love his family. We have to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have to love our neighbors ourselves. Husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to love their husbands. And when love is abounding in a home, you're going to be, what are you going to be when you go there? You're going to be refreshed when you go there, when love is abounding in the home. As we look at the Word of God and think about all the different things, and the Bible is full of things that are necessary in order to have a happy home. Another ingredient of a happy home is discipline. Is God inseparable from love? Is God inseparable from love? Yes, He is. God is inseparable from love. God is love. You've got to have God as the head of the house. And God is love. You have to have love in the home. And love has to be manifested. And then there's something else you have to have in a happy home and a refreshing home. You have to have discipline. You have to have discipline. Everything I'm talking about a natural home, is also true about the church home. Who is the head of the church? Just as who is the head of the home? God is the head of the home, and God is the head of the church. It's His church. Jesus is the one who bought it. He's the one who built it. He's the one who paid for it. Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's whose church it is. Don't ever be caught saying it's your church. It's not your church. You need to acknowledge it's not your church. You need to acknowledge it's Jesus' church. It's the Lord's church. You didn't buy it. You didn't build it. You didn't pay for it. It's the Lord's church. He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the one that adds to the church. He's the one that built the church. And His church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that we have a church home, just like I'm glad I have a natural home to go to. I'm glad I have a natural home that I look forward to going to. I find great joy in going home. My house, my home, is a place that I find everything that I need that ought to be found in a home. And the church home, this church home, is everything I need. Did you know that? Do you realize how blessed we are? Those of you that have a good natural home and a good church home, do you realize how blessed you are to have a home and to have a church where you can go and be refreshed every time you go there? Be able to go home and you find God is manifesting Himself there. Be able to go to church and find God is manifesting Himself here. To be able to go home and find that love is abounding there. And to be able to come to the house of God and to find that love is abounding here. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so if we don't have love, we're nothing. If we don't have love, and if love is not abounding, we don't have a home, a natural home, or a church home. If love is not abounding, God is not abounding there. And if love is not abounding, it's not a refreshing place to go. And discipline. Do you need discipline in the home? Those of you that have children, do you need discipline in the home? Absolutely. Love and discipline. Is God and love inseparable? Love and discipline are also inseparable. The Scripture says in Hebrews 12:6, "Whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth." Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." The Scripture tells us in Proverbs 13:24, that if a man loves his son, he will chasten him. That's discipline. What about a church? 1 Corinthians 5 teaches that if a church loves her members, the church cannot ignore members of the body that are walking contrary to God's Word and God's way. If a church is ignoring her members, that church does not love her members. We need to love each other enough. And brethren, discipline in the home is not something you enjoy. I'm glad I don't have to do spanking anymore. Occasionally I've spanked my grandchildren. It's not like when my children were home. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. You know why? I don't like to have to carry out discipline. I don't like to have to carry out church discipline. I started to say, I wish I was like some preachers. They just shut their eyes to everything and said, "Well, just case the ra sera, whatever will be, will be. We'll just all be one happy family and just going to forget everything. Doesn't matter what you do or how you live." That sounds good on the surface, but it doesn't last very long. And the reason it doesn't last is because God will not stay in a church where they're going to allow gross ungodliness in the body. And the people of God are not going to be refreshed when they go to the house of God and they find in the house of God that there are people living just as ungodly or more ungodly than anyone out there in the world. There's supposed to be a major difference in Christians and the world. When you go to a house of God where the people are trying to serve God, and remember, there is no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. There's nowhere you're going to go where everybody is just right. When you go to a church where everybody is trying to do what's right and they're trying to serve the Lord, that's refreshing. It's refreshing. You ought to be able to say, like that king did, you ought to be able to say, come home with me and refresh thyself. When the prodigal son got home, his father first greeted him. And then here's what the father said. After he had greeted his son and fell on his neck and had kissed him, the father then said, he said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They were refreshed. They were glad. Listen, brethren, not only when a natural child begins to repent and go and live in the right way, not only will there be rejoicing in a natural home, but there will be great rejoicing in the house of God over every sinner that repents. The church ought to be glad when a child of God turns from his evil way and comes back and begins to say, I want to come home. I want to get back to living the way the Word of God teaches me to live. There ought to be great rejoicing, and there will be great rejoicing if it's the true church of Jesus Christ. There is great rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repents, and there is great rejoicing in the true church over every sinner that repents. I mentioned home-cooked meals. Is that, how many of you remember good home, I'm talking about not just rarely, but how many of you remember regularly having home-cooked meals? Most everybody that raised their hands over the age of 30. Children that are under the age of 20. Young people that are under the age of 20. I don't say this to embarrass anybody, but young people that are under the age of 20. How many of you, most every night, have a home-cooked meal where you sit around the table and y'all have family fellowship and a good home-cooked meal most every night? Hold up your hand. 1, 2... One hand's going up and down. Isn't it good to have home-cooked meals? I don't say this to embarrass anybody. I say to encourage you. Isn't it wonderful that God tells us how to have a happy home? What about the church? Should there be good food here at the house of God? And brethren, I'm not talking about that food in the back. That food in the back, most all of it is home-cooked meals. But that's not the kind of food that the church serves. The food that the church serves is spiritual food. The Word of God tells us throughout the Scriptures that the people of God need the food of the Word of God. You remember how Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You are lambs of God, you are sheep of God, you're children of God, and you need food besides the natural food, you need spiritual food. And this Word of God is food to the souls of the people of God. And it's a wonderful blessing to go to the house of God and feel like my soul has been fed with manna from on high. To be able to feel God has fed me from His Word today. You remember in Acts chapter 20 that the Apostle Paul called the elders of the church together and he told them, he says, you're to take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. I'm supposed to be up here not entertaining you. I am not supposed to be up here telling you jokes. I'm not supposed to be up here trying to make you feel good. That's not my primary purpose. My purpose and your purpose of being here today is supposed to be to worship God. Our purpose is, as we begin to hear the reading of God's Word, to hear what God has to say. Not what I think or what I feel. Not my dreams or my thoughts. Not things that I think ought to be done. But I need to hear the Word of God. That's the only thing that'll satisfy your soul. That's the only thing that'll strengthen your soul. Is the Word of God. And so God tells the elders of the church, feed the flock of God. Feed the church of God. Feed them with the Word of God. It's refreshing, isn't it, to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God. Something else that we need in the natural home and the church is fellowship, don't we? We need good fellowship. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Fellowship with God first. I want you to remember that everything centers around Jesus Christ and God. Did you know, don't tell anybody, but I can't feed your soul. Don't tell anybody. But I can't feed your soul. I can get up here and preach just as hard. I can study all I want to. I can feel like God's given me a message to preach from God's Word, but I cannot feed your soul. God has to bless you to feed on the Word of God. It's amazing that in the house of God, there can be some people right now as I'm looking out, I see little lambs that are just eating up the Word of God. I see others that are not interested. What makes a difference? What makes a difference? Well, brethren, when you've been out serving the Lord and working in the Lord's vineyard and serving God's people, you're going to get hungry. You're going to get hungry for the Word of God. And we need to come and feed on the Word of God. But we need the fellowship of God's people. Fellowship is wonderful. Fellowship is wonderful. Fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. It's necessary in the natural home and it's necessary in the church. There cannot be divisions and schisms in the body. There can't be one little click here and one little click there. It ceases, listen carefully, if this church becomes divided, if this church begins to have schisms here and schisms there, if it becomes divided, it will cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. You cannot have a divided church and it be the church of Jesus Christ. May God help us, brethren, to realize the importance of the fellowship of the brethren. And if you have any problem with a brother or sister, get it straightened out and forgive one another. Continue in fellowship. There are just so many things the Word of God teaches are necessary to have a happy home, church home, and family home. May God help us to read and study the rule book, study the Word of God, find out all the things that are necessary to have a good home where you can say to people, you can say, come home with me. Come home with me and refresh thyself. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.